Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to the Behind the Steel Curtain family of podcasts, and you have stumbled upon the Steelers Retro Show. Hi, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. Alongside with me is Tony DeFio, my good friend and my DeLorean buddy, as we always go back in time together. Tony, what is going on?
Hey, Brian, good to be with you as always. I am doing fantastic, and I can't wait to go back to 1997. It's one of my favorite years in the history of my life, to quote Rocky Balboa.
In the history of my life! Yeah, love it. I gotta tell you, Tony, with the 2020 Steelers having a great season and ending up this week playing in Baltimore, we decided to pick a game against the Baltimore Ravens in 1997. Two really cool games that year. And so what we're going to do, we'll do both of those this year, but we got to pick the away game. The Steelers being on the road in Baltimore, an old Memorial Stadium, which that was a fun place to watch a game. I'm watching the replay of this game. The new stadiums, they're great. They're state of the art, but that stadium had so many cool memories for me with the Pirates in 71 and 79 and watching so many games with the Steelers playing in that field. It's like the old Orange Bowl as well. When you see the palm trees in the corner in Miami, you see all these trees in Baltimore. It's just a beautiful place to watch a game. That's one, M&T Stadium. I mean, I live close to it. It's just not the same. Watching Memorial Stadium for me was pleasurable. What did you think of watching that game?
Oh, I'm glad you brought all that up, Brian, because I'm a big fan of NFL history, and that stadium is just when the Colts played there, and it was in the 50s and 60s. It was practically like Lambeau Field as far as how many big games were played there, and you know, great time rewatching this game and seeing the old sight lines, and it's just an old fantastic place with a lot of character.
And it's no longer there, and so those old stadiums never die in our hearts. Let's go back in time. So you said 1997 right now. What was going on? Well, on the radio, everybody was still lamenting the loss and mourning the loss of Princess Diana. So Elton John, with his remake of his own song, Candle in the Wind 1997, was out, and it was number one everywhere on the radio, not just in the US. It was number one in England as well. The number one movie at the box office was The Peacemaker. Tony, do you remember The Peacemaker?
Wow, no, I don't. I'm horrible with movies. Yeah, no, I don't remember that one. I'm more of a TV guy, but yeah, I don't remember that one at all.
So I'm definitely a TV guy as well. So if we talk about what people were watching on TV at the time, it is going to be Friends. Mm. So they were still watching Friends, and they were winding up with the last season of Seinfeld as well. So there you go. So there's a little information about that. And I know something that you enjoy and I enjoy as well. As we're looking back, it's hard to see something that was really happening in the news at the time. We just talked about the number one movie, which was with Nicole Kidman and George Clooney, by the way. But something happened big in the world of wrestling, Tony. It was the Hell in a Cell match between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Then all of a sudden, at the end of that match, eerie music, you get Hellfire and Brimstone, red lights, flames, and the debut of Glenn Jacobs as Kane, the Undertaker's evil brother.
Oh, that was a great wrestling match and great moment in wrestling history. And it was right before the big boom hit with the WWF. It was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. And Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, here we go, Tony. Let's go into this game. The Steelers were 2-2 coming into this game. And as the Steelers came in, they did not have the best defense in the world. Neither did the Baltimore Ravens. In fact, the Steelers had the last place pass defense in the league. The Ravens were at 29th. Now, Cordell did come off of a great performance. That's Cordell Stewart in his first full year as the Steelers starting quarterback. He was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And here come the Ravens. And it's really weird to think of the Ravens with their quarterback at the time, Tony, who?
Good old Vinny Testaverde, our old buddy.
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde, the number one pick in the 1987 draft. 10 years later, he was on his third team, I believe. Well, actually, it's really his second team because he was on the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns became the Baltimore Ravens the year before. So he was there throwing to great pass catchers like Derek Alexander, Jermaine Lewis, Michael Jackson. Have to do it. and former Steeler Eric Green. Now, the offense also had another talented former Man of Steel carrying the ball. It was one Byron Bam Morris. So it was really weird to see two former Steelers, Tony, lining up number 86 and number 33 in purple.
Eric Green was basically the last great draft pick for Chuck Noll, and he was such a time. He was a revolutionary weapon, so big and so fast and so strong. And in a lot of ways, he was like a pre-Gronkowski. And of course, Bam Morris was one of the Steelers' heroes from those mid-90s teams that went to those AFC Championship games and Super Bowl 30.
Absolutely. And the Ravens had a second year player known by Ray Lewis, another second year player known as Jonathan Ogden, offensive tackles, both in the Hall of Fame. Those guys were up and coming, but that Ravens defense with Ray Lewis was actually pretty spectacular, even though they were bad against the pass, as I just mentioned. You still had Tony Siragusa, who did not play a lot in this game because he was injured, but Michael McCrary, Boulware, was on this team as well. This was a good team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, people may not realize it at the time, but they were just a few years away from that great 94 team that they had when they were the Browns. And then they were just a few years away from winning the Super Bowl after the 2000 season. And guys like Ray Lewis, I mean, they were about to come into their prime.
So the Steelers on defense, we mentioned their problems before. They had a rookie at cornerback. Their number one pick from the University of Maryland was one Chad Scott. Chad Scott was out of this game, and Randy Fuller had to play in his stead. The Ravens come in. They want to make up for the fact that they would fall behind teams very early. They did well quarter two through four, usually early in 1997, but quarter one, they were outscored big time. So the commentators in this game were Tom Hammond and Jim Kelly. These guys were fantastic. I remember those guys back in the day.
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Jim Kelly. I forget that how close East Brady is to Pittsburgh, and he has that true Pittsburgh accent. And when I become independently wealthy, I'm going to hire him and Charlie Batch to do a talk show, and I'm going to listen to it every day just to remind me of my hometown Pittsburgh.
Well, I'd be glad to let you hire me as well, even though I'm not hometown Pittsburgh.
Oh, you could quarterback them. You could be the quarterback of the show and keep those guys on point.
The non-quarterback with the two quarterbacks.
Yes, exactly. See what I did there? See what I did there?
I love it. So let's start off this game. After a long pass to Michael Jackson, Bam Morris was running the ball really well for Baltimore. Number 33 would have gone all the way on his second carry had it not been for the great Darren Perry from
Penn State University,
making an ankle tackle on his former teammate. The Ravens quarterback was really slow getting started. On third down in Steelers territory, Vinny scrambled to avoid a sack. And on a few occasions, he could have been sacked, like three times on the same play. He throws an ill-advised pass across his body, and his receiver was Carnell Lake.
That was a big play. I don't know what Vinny was thinking there, trying to throw across his body, but Carnell Lake was waiting for him, and he intercepted it and returned it to the Ravens 43.
Vinny was terrible, just terrible in that first drive. 1 for 6 with 12 yards on the opening series. The Steelers took over, and three plays later, Cordell says, "I want to be like Vinny." He threw a pass toward Courtney Hawkins that the veteran Eugene Daniel intercepted after reading number 10's eyes. Now, an interesting thing about Eugene Daniel, Tony, he was out of the league early in 1997, wasn't he?
At his home in Louisiana, fixing his house, building a house. And when he got the call from Ted Marchibroda to come work out for the Ravens, Ted Marchibroda was a former Steeler, and I think he's from Pittsburgh too. He signed him, and he had one of his best games in this game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he had one interception coming into it, and this interception made two on the year. Would there be more? Only time will tell. So here comes Testaverde again from his own 34. He takes over, and this time he wasn't going to be denied. After first down passes to Derek Alexander and Jermaine Lewis, Testaverde found Eric Green again for a 24-yard score. Green was playing on a sore knee, and he went and hurdled Donnell Wolford on this play, and he waltzed into the end zone. Matt Stover's extra point made the score 7-0. Tony, it was a majestic play from the former Steeler. That hurdle was Jesse Owens-like.
Yeah, he, on that play, he showed the kind of potential he had and the kind of career he could have had if he would have stayed focused. I mean, he's such an incredible athlete for such a big guy. And Jason Gilden was tasked with covering him on this play, and he had no chance.
You know, I would have loved to have seen a guy like Eric Green stay with the Steelers his entire career. I thought he was a magnificent player. Who knows what would have happened if he would have stuck around. The Steelers went to work to try to even up the score. The only team to rush for more yards than they passed in the season couldn't get much going in either manner. So here comes Cordell back to pass. He throws a second down pass into enemy arms again. This time, who was the interceptor, Tony?
It was safety Stevon Moore, who returned it 39 yards to the 6. So, yeah, it wasn't a great start for Slash.
He rambled 37 yards after catching that pass, Tony, and he got all the way down to the Steelers 6. Thankfully, Will Wolford saved the TD for the moment with a tackle. But the other former Steeler needed to find pay dirt as well. It happened. After only surrendering one touchdown in the first quarter in the first four games, the Steelers gave up two touchdowns after two turnovers on their first two drives. As who got in the end zone for the Ravens?
It was that guy, Bam Morris. It was a great second effort by him, and it showed the kind of player he was when he was in Pittsburgh. But unfortunately, his old team was on the receiving end of that, and the Steelers were down 14-0 late in the first quarter.
On the next series, the Steelers went to the ground with the bus, Jerome behind Tim Lester. They were breaking off impressive runs together, but the quarter ended with Pittsburgh driving toward the end zone. It was Baltimore 14 and the Steelers zip. Tony, what are you thinking at the end of the first?
Their offense is starting to get into a bit of a rhythm. Cordell is settling down, and if they can get on the board here, make everybody forget about that ugly first quarter.
Well, I want to forget about that ugly first quarter, so we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the Steelers Retro Show. Welcome back to the Steelers Retro Show. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Alongside me is Tony DeFio, as we're talking about the Steelers and the Ravens from October 5th of 1997. So, Tony, the Steelers are down 14-0, and the second quarter is about to open. The black and gold looked like they would cut the Raven lead in half, but Stewart really wanted no part of that. Instead, what did he do this time?
He threw his third interception in the first half, this time to Eugene Daniel, who had his second interception in the first half, and he returned it to the Steelers 43.
After that, Bam Morris moved the chains a few times. Number 12 in purple, Vinny Testaverde, found tight end Brian Kinchin for a 24-yard score, and it's now 21-0 with 12:43 remaining in the second quarter. Tony, it's looking bad.
At that point, you're wondering if Bill Cowher, the head coach, is going to pull Stewart, who was his first year as a starter, as you mentioned, and put in the veteran Mike Tomczak, because it was not a great start at all for the Steelers.
So Cordell, desperate to get Bill Cowher's team back in it, dusted himself off. He got back out there. However, the Steelers couldn't do anything to counter, and they had a punt after Michael McCrary sacked Slash. Things almost got disastrous after Jermaine Lewis fielded that punt and took it 36 yards to the Steelers 44. Luckily, Dante Jones tripped up the speedster from Maryland, or he would have been gone, and it would have been 28-0. After the punt, Tony, the Steelers would try to put a dent in the deficit again. In the broadcast booth, Tom Hammond and Jim Kelly introduced an item, the Ravens rag. Have you ever heard of the Ravens rag, Tony?
Well, if I heard of it back then, I certainly forgot all about it. It definitely didn't catch on in Baltimore.
No, it didn't. And first of all, introducing anything as a rag is not appeasing, but it was an answer to the terrible towel. Do you know who created the Ravens rag?
It was Bam Morris's wife.
Yes, Stephanie created that abomination, and Byron passed them out to his teammates. But like you said, the trend did not stick, and nobody remembers it to this day. The Ravens looked to add on to their huge lead, Tony, but the Steelers defense stepped up. Randy Fuller in for Mr. Chad Scott, and Levon Kirkland had nice pass breakups. But the big play came on a Chris Odom strip sack of Vinny Testaverde, in which Joel Steed recovered at the 29 of Baltimore. Three plays later, Tim Lester led the way for a 14-yard run by Jerome Bettis. And Cordell threw a nice pass to Courtney Hawkins at the 2. There was another 1 yard run by number 36. Then what happened, Tony?
Good old Slash Stewart dove over the goal line to make it 21-7.
He was magic with his legs. He wasn't great with his arm. His peripheral vision wasn't that great, but he threw some nice balls as well. But when he was running well. That was his fifth touchdown of the year. Cut the lead down to 14. It was now Baltimore 21, Steelers 7. But Baltimore was not to be denied in that first half. After three receptions by Alexander and runs by Morris, Matt Stover kicked a 34-yard field goal with 5 seconds remaining to make the score 24-7 at halftime. The Steelers were coming back into it. Then this happens. Tony, was there any hope for the Steelers at the half at this point?
Honestly, it didn't feel like it because the way Stewart was playing in the first half with the three turnovers and the Steelers, their only points came off a turnover, which was encouraging, but the offense really just it couldn't get out of its own way over the first 30 minutes. So a 17-point deficit at that point seemed insurmountable.
In the third quarter, the Steelers took the kickoff, and Bill Cowher must have fired them up, or at least they fired up Will Blackwell, the rookie speedster from San Diego State. He faked a reverse and took it 97 yards all the way to the house, Tony. There was a sizable Pittsburgh contingent in the stands. They went crazy. Bill Cowher went crazy, too. What was he doing on that play?
He was running down the field with them. I mean, he was pretty excited. You know, that was the year he wanted to tackle somebody from the Jaguars when they blocked the field goal and took it back for a touchdown, a possible game-winning field goal. So he was a pretty emotional guy, but that was a big momentum swing for them because first play of the second half, you're down 17 and boom, just like that, you're only down by 10. So that was a huge play for them at that point in the game.
So they traded punts next, and the home team had to kick it away again. On the next series, Cordell saw Antonio Langham drop a sure pick six. Could he capitalize on that second chance, Tony?
Yes, he could, because after the Ravens went three and out, you know, as you said, they got the ball back and he found Charles Johnson for a 9-yard strike to make it 24-21. And just like that, it was a 21-0 deficit. It's now only a 3-point deficit.
That was a 12-play, 90-yard drive, Tony. Norm Johnson makes the conversion. Like you said, it's 24-21. Here we go, Tony. The final quarter's here. The Steelers would complete their comeback and the Ravens couldn't do anything to thwart the bleeding. Bam Morris had to retreat to the locker room with a rib injury, but he did come back, but the Ravens couldn't do much at all. Testaverde, trying to put the team on his shoulders, found them not broad enough when Nolan Harrison and Mike Vrabel, yes, that guy, Mike Vrabel, forced a Testaverde fumble recovered by Kevin Henry. Then the Steelers are ready to go ahead and possibly take the lead. Could it happen, Tony?
Stewart found tight end Mark Bruner for a 5-yard touchdown to make it 28-24. And just like that, the Steelers were thankfully in the lead.
With the Ravens attempting to counter, Jason Gilden got a big sack on the Vin Man and Greg Montgomery. He was on to punt again. The Steelers then looked to extend their lead from their own 11. On 3rd and 8 from the 13, Stewart rolled out and heaved a long pass to an open Will Blackwell. But number 89 could not come up with the ball as another player stepped in front of him and snatched the ball away, Tony. But there was good news on that snatch, wasn't there?
Yes, good old Yancey Thigpen. He's the one who jumped up and came down with the catch and for 62 yards down to the Ravens 24. And that epitomized the kind of talent that Cordell Stewart had because he was able to escape and heave a pass downfield for 55, 60 yards in the air. And that set the Steelers up in great position.
It was a beautifully thrown ball. He really threw some nice passes like we alluded to earlier. Yes, they're down to the 24-yard line. Bettis moves the chains. Then Charles Johnson catches another offering from Cordell from 17 yards out. The Steelers were up by 11 by the score of 35-24. But are you breathing easier at this point, Tony?
At that point in the game, I was definitely breathing easier because it seemed like an 11-point lead was pretty safe. But after we're about to find out, it was not quite as safe as we wanted it to be.
The Ravens weren't done, though. Lewis scampered 36 yards on the return. Again, another 36-yard return on that ensuing kickoff to get Baltimore down to the Steeler 49. A few plays later, Donnell Wolford got nailed for a shove and the pass interference on Michael Jackson. The very next play, Testaverde found Derek Alexander in the corner of the end zone for a 10-yard score. J.B. Brown was beaten on that play. Needing to go for the two-point conversion, Vinny found an old veteran for the two. Who was that?
That was running back Ernest Biner. It's funny. I was watching the rewatching the game, and I thought Ernest Biner was still playing in 1997 because he was a famous Cleveland Brown from the mid-80s. So he was one who had the famous fumble. So, yeah, that was crazy to see him in that game.
Now 35-32 with 2:17 left, the Ravens decided to kick the ball away. They did not go for the onside kick. The Steelers then went to the ground to try to run out the clock. But when you're running out the clock, sometimes you run away from the defense, don't you, Tony?
Yes, good old Slash Stewart. He did what he did best on this play, and that was run away from everybody else. Before Michael Vick, before Lamar Jackson, there was Cordell Stewart, and he outraced everybody to the end zone for a 74-yard touchdown to make it 42-32. And I remember, I'll never forget where I was, and I was watching the game with my uncle, and me and him and two other guys were all owners of one fantasy football team, if you can believe it. And the team we were playing had Cordell, and he had such a bad first half and such a great second half. And this run broke our team's back, but it was still a great moment that I'll never forget.
Absolutely. That's hilarious. You mentioned Michael Vick, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, he has had some great runs in 2020. A 37-yarder in week 6. He had, in week 4, a 50-yarder. And a 50-yarder was his career touchdown run. Cordell was doing this regularly. He had that 80-yarder the year before against Carolina. Now the 74-yard run, he did it well. He was almost ahead of his time. This is it. It's 42-32 now with a minute 47 left in the contest. Vinny tried to get the team back in the game, but Eric Green fumbled after that great beginning of the game for the Ravens after a long catch and run. Myron Bell both stripped and recovered the fumble. Here comes Mike Tomczak to run out the clock, but the game didn't quite end there yet, did it, Tony?
Yeah, I forgot all about this sequence. I knew there was a safety in there, but the way they decided to go about it was weird. It was 42-32 with only 11 seconds left. And instead of just punting the ball away, Coward decided to take a safety, which basically gave the Ravens a slim chance to take the free kick and return and tie the game. But fortunately, that didn't happen, and the Steelers prevailed.
You know what? It was very interesting because they did not want to punt the ball to Jermaine Lewis. He could break it on any play. So that's what they were afraid of, Tony. You have the situation where if they do that, they can go for an onside kick and a very easy Hail Mary possibly, or they can go ahead for a game-winning field goal with not much time, even though there was 11 seconds left. That's something that they were afraid of, but they gambled. They won the gamble because Vinny Testaverde, with a very live arm, heaved it downfield for the Hail Mary. Donnell Wolford was there to pick that ball off, and that was the end of the game. After being down 21 points, Cordell Stewart and the Steelers did not wilt, Tony.
No, that was that was a character building win, not just for Cordell Stewart, but for the entire Steelers team, because they got off to a kind of a slow start in 1997. And this was one of the early wins that sort of proved to be the catalyst for another great year for them.
Yes, this team did end up in the AFC Championship game. I was there. We're not going to talk about that because it did not end up in the Super Bowl. Stewart had 3 interceptions in this game. He had 3 interceptions in that game. But what he had in this game was 3 touchdowns throwing, 2 more in the air. He was helped out by Jerome Bettis with 137 yards rushing. Yancey Thigpen had 162 yards receiving, and Charles Johnson had those 2 touchdowns. They were all key. The defense with 4 sacks and 6 turnovers were huge in this game. The win helped the Steelers eventually take that tough division from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it was a pretty fun season for me, Tony. And you have great memories of this season as well, don't you?
Yeah, I've mentioned on this show in the past about how some Steelers victories helped me get through some rough times. Well, this time in my life, the early 90s through the late, through like 97, really, 98, that time frame when those 5-6 years with Bill Cowher as the head coach, the first 6 years of his career when he took him to the playoffs, that was maybe my favorite time as a sports fan, even more so than the Super Bowl years. So I'll always have fond memories of this time in my life.
I absolutely do too as well. And we are going to be going back to 1997 a lot. Next time they play the Ravens, we'll go back to 1997 again, because that was another crazy game. A different kind of crazy, but a crazy game as well. So Tony, thanks so much for going back in time with me.
It was my pleasure, Brian. It was a fun game and a snapshot memory that I've carried with me watching my uncle have a bittersweet reaction to Cordell Stewart's final touchdown there that broke our fantasy football back. So it was a pleasure sharing those memories with you.
And you know what, this is audio only, but I'm looking at your face as you're remembering this game, because you could see how much you're enjoying talking about it. So that's absolutely fantastic, Tony.
It's why we watch sports, because it's about the memories, and this game certainly provided many of those.
Sports take us back. Sports make us remember the good times. They make us remember how we got through the tough times. And this is one of those games. So I got to tell you, I love talking about this. So for Tony DeFio, my name is Brian Anthony Davis from Behind the Steel Curtain. And as Huey Lewis used to say, take me away, I don't mind. But you better promise me I'll be back in time. We'll see you, friends.